As bezem, it's always kedai when you do something, at least al-choponim, to understand at least what you're doing and why you're doing it. As bezem Hashem, today we're going to try and go through the history, at least, be'ika, of what was Asar B'Tevis, what happened, what is the reason for the fast. And then Be'ez Hashem, any time that we have left, and Avada Be'ez Hashem tomorrow, will be a continuation with the Ikka Halachas of a Tainis, and all the Halachas that apply to any fast day, which is Negeh to the day before, the night before, the day of the fast day, all those sorts of Halachas of taking showers, listening to music, haircuts, all these sorts of Halachas, which Be'ez Hashem will get to, hopefully tomorrow. But we're starting this, Rabbi Yisai. The Rambam tells us as follows. The Rambam says that when hard times befall Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael have difficult situations, Zug the Rambam, there is no coincidence. Says the Rambam, difficult times happen to Klal Yisrael for one of the main reasons being is for people to do tshuva, is people to come back to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So therefore, Chazal will masaken to us certain days that we have to fast in order, and we're going to see this mamish beautifully written, like the Chofetz Chaim sells us Mufurish and Tovkuf Memtes, like Abed Halachas of Atainis, is that the Ikka Yisoid of Atainis, Zog the Rambam, is a vada for a person to think, is burden to think about the day, think about what happened on that day, and the Mele to do tshuva. So, before we discuss the actual Halachas of tshuva, I think it's Kedai Rabbi Yisai to go through the Etzem day of the Atainis. We're coming up, Beis Hashem, on Sunday to Asara Petavis. So if we don't know what happened, and we don't know the severity of the Yom, so possibly we won't have anything to think about, and won't have enough to do tshuva run. So the Maisa, it starts as follows, Rabbi Yisai. A lot of information, a lot of interesting history that a lot of people don't know anything about. It's kedai to listen. So Beis Hashem, on the fast itself, you'll know the reason for the tainess, you'll understand what's going on. Lom again. There's a sefer called Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis Be'etzem tells us, we've bought in different places, also in Chazal, whatever. We're not going to go through all the Maimakamis now, it's not Kedai to go through all the Inyanim. Oh, but Megillas Tainis tells us that Be'etzem in Teves, there are 3 days of fasting. There should be, it can be 3 days that a person should fast. And that is on the 8th of Teves, on the 9th of Teves, and the 10th of Teves. All of these days are days of mourning. Right, that means theoretically this year, right, would be theoretically Friday, Shabbat, Sunday. Zot, the Megillas Tainis, the Torah brings it down also, is a mocking to fast all 3 days, because on all 3 days, a terrible things happened on separate days, and we're going to Beis Hashem explain. The Torah says, Enoch Hanami Avadu,
which days?
The 8th, the 9th, and the 10th of Teves. Now, the might of the Torah's Avadu, it's right for a person to fast on all 3 days, but Avadu, we don't do that nowadays, because we are much more chalash, we're weaker, we have more food, we're used to different environment. So Mamela, we only do one fast on the 10th, on the Asara B'Tevis, but I'll call upon him. It's kedai to know what went on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th, because again, these are Yom of Tshuva, these are Yom that terrible catastrophes happened to Klal Yisrael. Let's start the Baisai with 8. The 8th of Teves. What happened on the 8th of Teves? So it goes as follows. Chazal tell us that there were 3 days that the world plunged into absolute darkness. As it states in Chazal. Why? Because the events that happened on these days, right, Be'ikah on the 8th of Teves, was doimah to the making of the Egel Hazav. As it states in Chazal. That what happened on the 8th of Teves was so chomor that it caused the world to plunge into a darkness for 3 days, and was compared to the event as harmful as making the Egel Azov, as we state in the Masechet Seifim in Perek Aleph. Now, the Gemara tells us in Megillah Daftes. The Gemara says in Megillah Daftes about Aleph as follows. What happened on the 8th of Teves is as follows. There was a Greek king called Ptolemy, and he, the Maisa, had a problem. He wanted to ensure to know that the Torah, the Bible that the Jews use, was the Emesticker Bible that they're using, that's going on. So what he devised was the following plan. He took 72 Gedolei Yisrael, 72 Gedolei Yisrael mamish. He put them each into separate rooms and told them to each of them to translate the Torah. Now, by doing this, he'd obviously see what was going on, and he'd see that, you know, anyone was messing around, and what was the Emes Torah that was going around. So merely he did that. Now you have to admit, you have to realize, when they were placed in this room, they realized what was going on and what the repercussions may be. And they realized what could happen is that if they translate the Torah into Greek, then it could be that certain psukim will be misinterpreted and could cause terrible, terrible things for Klal Yisrael. And Neis, Chazal tell us, happened, that all 72 were mechaven to the same translation, and it came out one exact, and they changed certain things. They actually made shinuyim to the Torah in order that it shouldn't be a sakona, whatever, and they all mechaven to exactly the same changes. So what came out was 72 exactly the same versions for this Greek Kling Ptolemy. Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to it. I want to speak this out. I want to speak this out separately because it's an Indian that's very, very important.
To translate the Torah into Greek?
Yes. Now.
I thought Greek's one of the languages you can do it.
Oh, okay. No, no. Let me explain to you what was the problem over here. What was the problem? Again, Chazal are telling us that when they translated the Torah, it caused the world to plunge at the top days. It was doomed to the making of the Egel Azor. What's chat?
Like literal darkness.
Yes. So, yeah, because of the second, because of the... Oh. Now, the mice of the question is why? The question is, what was so bad about this translation? So, there's a posh upshot that we could say is that when Torah we know has to be given through a Messiah, through a Rebbe who heard from his Rebbe, who heard from his Rebbe, that all the way goes back to Moshe at HaSinai. Now, Mamela, if a guy wanted to understand the Torah, there's only one way of him figuring out the Torah. And that is to go to a Yiddish person to ask him to transmit the Messiah of the Torah. Now, however, now what they did was, is they made a replacement. They made it easy. They made a guy, they made a non-Jew, could now learn the Torah, right, even without, even without, that's the ran over there, even without Tosfos Rit, even without going to a Yid. It was a replacement, and just like the Egel Azor was a replacement for, so to speak, Rabbeinu Shaloi Lom Ki'ilu Kaviyochel, Shememela, or at least the in-between person, Shememela, this was a replacement of the Torah that people can take as they want and understand what they want and as they wish and as they want. That's dangerous as it was. There's another beautiful teretz, I think you'll appreciate this very, very much, in the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer has droshes over here for Tevis, and he writes a beautiful yesoy, which is so kedai to know. Says the Chassam Sofer as follows. What was the reason, says the Chassam Sofer, why translating the Torah into, it was such a catastrophic event.
So when they translated, they made it into another...
Another replacement way to understand it and take it whichever way that they wanted. Oh, we're getting, oh, this is what he said, very good. Sintach Sam Sefer, let me tell you, first of all, you have to have a shtikel hakdama to what was Greek. What was Yavon? What was their culture? What were they Yisoid? We know, Baruch Hashem, we know this over Hanukkah as well, is that Yavon, the Greeks, were all into exterior, physical beauty, physical outer appearance, the appreciation of the body, appreciation of an outer beauty. They had no feelings, and there was no godless for the inner, sacred, spiritual worth of a person. That was the Yisoid of Yavon. Now it's interesting because we know that Yavon were actually the descendants of Yefes. Yefes was the son of, one of the sons of Noach. And we know, very interesting from the Maitre, that the Torah tells us...
Like to take that outer and apply it to the...
Oh, this is what I'm going to get to. Is the Maitre says like this. Says like some, so we know that Yavon were descendants of Yefes, which were the son of Noach. And we know that Yefes and Shem, both sons of Noach, what did they do? They did a wonderful act of covering up their naked father, Noah, when he was drunk. They covered him up, and it was Zoicha to get a reward. What was the reward? The reward was very different. The reward of shame was that all his davis would have the mitzvah of tzitzis, an unbelievable reward Shame got for doing that wonderful act of covering up the nakedness of their father. Yefes, on the other hand, got a different reward. That at the Muhammad of Gogol Magog, his... They will be buried after the Muhammad. So you can ask, what is the difference in the rewards? The mitzvah of tzitzit is an ongoing mitzvah that ganz klar is on Zoicha. The difference is the kavana that they had. The kavana of shame was, why did he cover his father's nakedness? Because he was a poshut of busha, and there was a mitzvah to make sure that his father was in the proper light, and Mamele covered it up. How Sha'ingin Yefes didn't do it because of that. Yefes did it because Poshut, he didn't feel it was befitting of his father to be in such a matzav. So Mamela, what he did was he covered it. The difference of the kavanah of the intention was the difference in the
schos
that he got.
Both the same kavanah?
No.
Why?
The first kavanah was a mitzvah kilo kibud of aim. Kibud of. Of a mitzvah kibud of, I've got to make sure that my father is beseder. The other one wasn't because of a mitzvah. It was poshut because the stature of my father, because a beauty, like if you look at the outer zach, basically.
No, he's saying that Shane Batson.
You hear the difference?
Shane Batson wouldn't even do it to someone else.
Yeah, that's how you look at it.
Shane would have Batson do it to someone else.
That's right. Let's not get involved in the lomdus rabbi said, poshut not negeya. Let me go in weiter. What we have to know is as follows. The Greeks, as we know, Kiyodua, wanted to uproot and remove the Yisoid of Torah Shebal Peh. That's why, again, in Arichas we can't go into, is why we have such a big mile of the Menorah, which represents Torah Shebal Peh, because that's something the Greeks wanted to get rid of, and the Mela, they wanted to get rid of Torah Shebal Peh. Now, the Greek king, this guy, right, Ptolemy, so he wanted to uproot all Torah Shebal Peh. We know that when you have a Pasuk in the Torah, when you have, look at the Gantar Torah, in the Torah is also contained what? Torah Shebal Peh. We know Rabbi Kiva darshaned and paskened halachas from the tagim, from the little crowns that are on top of every single letter in the Torah. He would darshan halachas from it. In other words, when we look at the Torah Shebiksav, we don't only have a Torah Shebiksav. We have contained within the Torah Shebiksav also the Torah Shebal Peh. So the Torah Shebal Peh on the surface, Torah Shebiksav on the surface was only Biksav, but we know in, contained in every word, every letter, the Gemara Daushans, every S, every single Vav, every single tiny letter in the Torah is Daushan and Paskin Alok on the Maisa. Mimela came along this Greek king and said, hold on a minute, get rid of it, translate it. When you translate the Torah, you've lost the entire Torah Shebal Peh, and you're only left with the outer physical script, because that was what the Greeks wanted to do. The exterior shell of the Torah, that's what they wanted. Give us the words, write it down, translate it. You're left with what? Torah. Not Torah Shebal Peh, but just Torah Shebiksav. And that was the purpose of the Greeks, and that's why the translation that they did over there was such a catastrophic event that caused darkness to the world, v'chulei, and that's why one of the reasons why we fast is because they took away the Torah Shebal Peh. And we know it's not shayach for a person to have living in this world without Torah Shebal Peh. Everything we do is based on Torah Shebal Peh, and maybe that's another reason why the eighth day was very, very difficult. Rabbi, so let's leave out all the...
You should take out, like, let's say that you have to save a Sefer Torah of a Gemara. Why?
That's a different Indian. I don't want to go into it right now. It could be you don't. I know Orcha Shulchan, nor Chaim, we haven't got time to be married in it. But I want to go back into this Indian, Obeisa, because I want to finish up this Indian before we start tomorrow about Sinai Lochas. That was the 8th of Tevis. What happened on the 9th of Tevis? So, very interestingly enough, very interesting, there's a Torah. The Torah in Ilchus Tainus says that on the 9th of Tevis, we don't know what happened. The Mogan Avraham and the Taz, they say the same thing. We don't know what happened. Now that's very interesting, because we know there were Yechidim, Tzadikim, that would fast on the 9th of Tevis as one of the days of a fast. You'd go over to them and say, hey, why are you fasting? Well, we don't know. What's a bit it's ridiculous, because number one, why are you fasting? And number two, the whole point of a fast is, who says to do tshuva, is to reflect what went on in the day. If you don't know what happened today, so what are you doing tshuva on? So we know that the Torah didn't write what he said. In other words, when he wrote, I don't know, he didn't mean it. The Mefoshim say he abadu knew what happened, but he couldn't write it. What happened on the 9th of Teves was Yoshi, or people called Yashka, was born on that day. And we know he was such a shiny Yisrael. He was a mamish mevazet Torah, mevazet talmidei chachamim, and it caused tremendous, tremendous tzoros in Kal Yisrael. Mimela, again, avada the goyim say 25th of December. We'll go into that in the shmuz over there. Even them maskim that it's wrong and it's not true. It's an estimation, whatever. We know that the 9th of Tevis is when he was born, and that's one of the reasons why it's a fast day. Now, another reason, if you look at the slichas that you will be saying, if you look at the slichas that you'll be saying on Sunday, go through the slichas. Sorry? If you go through the slichas that you'll be saying on Sundays as follows.
What
do I say? If you go through the slichas on Sunday that you'll be saying, the slichas spells out basically what happened, and that was Ezra HaSofer died on the 9th of Tevis. And the day that he died was a tremendous problem. Why? Because we know that Ezra was one of the G'dolei Ador Mamish in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Ad kidei kach, that Chazal tell us, people don't know, Ezra HaSofer was Mamish, was Masakim Menge Alochas the Gemon, but we come over there in the 7th Perek. Oh, but Ezra HaSofer was a Tzadik Gomu Mamish. Ad kidei kach, that Chazal tell us, he was roy to give the Torah on Har Sinai. That's how choshev he was. Or even more so, says the Medrash, Chazal tell us, that if Ezra HaSofer would have been born at the time of Aaron HaKohen, he would have been greater than Aaron HaKohen. It just happened to be Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than him. Sorry?
How much after was it? When did it?
Second Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash. No, no, second Beis HaMikdash.
That's
something else. Oh! Says the Torah, that's another reason why we fast, because that was the day that he died, and we have to know that Ezra HaSofer was someone that was mechaber Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebal Peh. He used to take the Torah and used to darshan how I'll be the Torah, this Torah Shebal Peh. So when he died, we lost that chelik of the connection between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, and maybe that's why, again, the 9th of Tevis is a tremendous day. And the 10th of Tevis, which is Be'etzem, the day that we fast, Kaminig Kol Klal Yisrael, is about the day that we know that the siege in Yerushalayim happened, and they started the process, as we'll explain, to actually destroy the Beis HaMikdash itself. The question is, why is it so difficult for us to mourn? We come to a fast day, which person sits and maybe starts crying, or starts even thinking tremendously about the Churban, the Beis HaMikdash? Why is it so difficult? So I've said this many, many times, Apashat Ha'etzah, Apashat Ha'zach, is the mindset we're happy. We're happy with what we have. We've got everything we need. We're in the right setting. Everything's going great. Blah, blah, blah. If we would take a few minutes to reflect of what's going on in Klal Yisrael, the tzoros of Klal Yisrael, what's going on? I mean, the dugma, I know, I'm sure each person over here can dash on their own for an hour of the tzoros, but what's going on in Klal Yisrael? I have a neighbor of mine, Nebuch, that just lost their 12-year-old daughter, Mamish, just one night to the next, she was gone. And there's a man in the community where I live also, that Nebuch, six children, and he's got Yanamachla, man from England, whatever. The kids, there's tremendous, tremendous tzoros. And one of the main reasons that all the tzoros is coming about is because we're in Golus. If we would think for a moment that the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt, we wouldn't have these tzoros, then maybe it will be a little bit more easy for us to be able to mourn. There's a famous mice of Nechovetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim once said that when the Beis HaLevi was called to be the Rav of Brisk, he said, no way. He had a bad experience with ever being a Rav. I'm not being a Rav again. I'm not interested. Thank you very much. They came back to him and they told him, as a last attempt, there are 30,000 Jews who are waiting for you to accept the position as being Rav. He picked his bag up, he said to his wife, we're going, and off he went. Why? Because he can't refuse that many people. Said the Chofetz Chaim, the Ribbono Shel Olam, right, is taking us and putting us into Golus. If there would be all the Yidden who were yearning, were halishing for the Beis HaMikdash, for back to when Mashiach would come, it's not Shaykh, said the Chofetz Chaim, it's not Shaykh for the Ribbono Shel Olam to say no, because all the Klal Yisrael are waiting. But again, we have to realize if we are Taka waiting. Now, Rebbeinu, we have a few minutes left, I've got a lot more to say. Just give me a few more minutes of your time and we'll go weiter. Tomorrow we'll get the halachas, Beis Hashem. Number one, right? Eliyahu asked, where are we dealing with the first Beis HaMikdash or the second Beis HaMikdash? Lemaisa, we're dealing over here with the first Beis HaMikdash. We're dealing with the Zman. Oh, you are? Somebody asked. No, there. Somebody asked. Oh, we're dealing. Exactly. So we're dealing with the first Beis HaMikdash. The obvious shayla that comes up over here is, and I heard this once from Rav Lev Shlita, and he said, the Pasha Nakasha. This is the first Beis HaMikdash, we had a second Beis HaMikdash afterwards. So no, grace the mourning on the first Beis HaMikdash. But we had a second one after that. Let's mourn the second one. No, listen to this. Very, very big aside. There were five.
One of the reasons because the first Beis HaMikdash got destroyed.
Yeah. That's the whole siege. Now, there are five things that happened in the first Beis HaMikdash that did not happen in the second Beis HaMikdash. And hence is the reason why we're crying on the first Beis HaMikdash, because we're still losing that, even though we did have a second Beis HaMikdash. Number one and number two is the Oren and the Luchos were not there. In the second Beis Hamikdash, there was no Oren, there was no Luchos. It's like, can you imagine having a shul without a Sefer Torah? There's a gang, it doesn't work. That's number one. Number two. Number three is the Shechina did not come back to the second Beis Hamikdash as intense as it was in the first Beis Hamikdash. Number four was the fire that came down to the Mizbeach did not come in the second Beis Hamikdash. And number five is the V'tumim we'd had in the first, we did not have in the second. So mainly we have five things.
Well, the Shechina is only there because of the Oren.
No. That's why it didn't come so intensely. It was there. I thought it was there because it was so straight from the Torah. But, sorry?
So there's no
Oren
there.
There's no Oren there. Yeah, but not to such a degree. So maybe we have five things that happened on the first piece of Midrash that did not happen to the second one, hence the reading for morning. Now, my boy, some of the Lord of Machidish. The Beis Yosef Neruchayim Simatov Kuf Nun brings a Mayudik Ashita, an Avudram. Avudram! That's what he brings the Beis Yosef. The Avudram says as follows. Says the Avudram on Mayudik Azach. If Asar B'Tevis would fall on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. It would override Shabbos. Now, says the Beis Yosef, I have no idea where he got this from. What's the pshat? We, except for Yom Kippur, do not have any fast. Right? Even Tisha B'Av that falls on Shabbos, we don't fast on Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av is one of the most chomer fasts that we have. But Asar B'Tevis, Zug the Avudram, would fall on Shabbos, thanks, man. We have to go and fast on Shabbos. And the obvious question is, now again, first of all, it doesn't apply. Well, we go according to the calendar, Basila, whatever. We do not, it's not Negev, it never ever does fall on a Shabbos. It falls on a Friday, it falls on a Sunday, it'll never fall on a Shabbos. That's our calendar. But what we're asking Kashi is, according to the Avudram, that brings the Beis Yosef, that theoretically, if it would have done, you would actually fast on Shabbos. Why? Why, yes? Asar B'Tevis and not Tisha B'Av. So there's many, many answers to this. I'm going to go a little bit quickly because we only have a few minutes left and I want to speak out these inyanim.
Luchos
are in the Shechina, the fire, and the Urim V'Tumim. Now, answer number one, you can answer Poshut. There's a Pasuk in Devarim that says Be'etzem Hayoim Hazeh. Talking about Asar B'Tevis, which just like Yom Kippur comes to teach me that you have to fast by Yom Hazeh on this day. So Enoch and Ami, it calls on Shabbos, Be'etzem Hayoim Hazeh. What can I do? You gotta fast. That's an easy one. No one can invite
her.
By Asar B'Tevis. Yeah. Now, just like Yom Kippur. Just like Yom Kippur. Sorry?
I thought he says three times in Torah.
No, this is Divayomim. Divayomim.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, it's not the Bible, as they say. Divayomim, one of the books. Rabbi Salomon Gaimaita. That's answer number one. Answer number two, says the Yaris Tvash, very interestingly enough. We know what you said. Why is it that we penalize Amalek more than anybody else? Why is Amalek the one that, Amalek killed us, Amalek, we've got to kill them. There were many people in the Goyim that tried to kill Klal Yisrael. Why do we pin it all on Amalek? Chazal tell us, because the first one that jumps in always does the most damage. When you have a bath and it's very, very hot, or a mikveh, it's boiling hot, and no one's scared to go in. One guy goes in, he cools it down for the rest, everybody goes in. Amalek did the same thing. They were the first ones to come and kill us, come and attack us, and it made it easier for everyone else. Comes along the Yaris Tvash. I added that. That was my addition. But the Yaris Tvash tells you so like this. That this was the beginning of all the tzoros that eventually led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Tchilas Puranius is the worst. When something begins, it starts the ball rolling for everything else. So Enoch and Ami, Tisha B'Av and everything else. That Beseder. But here is the Tchilas HaPuranius. It was the beginning that all the tzoros that led up to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself, the loss of all the Shechinah of Klal Yisrael and Golas. Therefore, it's the most chomos of the Yaris Tvash. And that's the reason why he wants to say, is the Maisa you can fast even on Shabbos. There's another answer, Rabbi said, beautiful, beautiful teretz. We have to have time for this, because otherwise tomorrow we'll not get to the halachas. If you go through all the tanesim that we do, and we'll go very, very quickly through them, we'll go through, for example, different things. Let's go through the different tanesim, and you'll see the difference between the different tanesim and Asar B'Tevis. Number one, Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, we know that it actually didn't happen on that day. Avudram. The Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, again, we're not going to go through all the history, but it's a double portion. If you think about it, Klaw, Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, right? Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, a lot of those were one of the three big fasts. Nothing actually happened major on that day, but just from that day, things led up and things got worse, and Memela things happened that caused tremendous problems in Klal Yisrael. The only one day that something happened on that day itself, is Asor B'Tevis. Because when they broke the wall, they broke all the security and all the independence that we had, and therefore allowed all the going to come in. So it was the only day that we fast, that something happened on the day itself that was terrible. So Mimela, that's the reason Rabbi Lev says is the reason why we have to fast even on Shabbos if it falls. Rabbi says, I say one more teretz is as follows. The Chassam Sofer says the teretz also. The Chassam Sofer says like this. Very, very big story. People, this piece is momish, something that people have to know when it comes to Asor B'Tevis. Says the Chassam Sofer, an unbelievable story. How can it be asked the Chassam Sofer? Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos? We don't. Asor B'Tevis we do? Doesn't make any sense. Come to Chassam Sofer and says an unbelievable story. Because Asor B'Tevis is on the future. The other fasts are on the past. What does that mean? Listen to this. Only the Chassam Sofer could say this. The Chassam Sofer says, do you know what happens in Shomayim? Every year on Asor B'Tevis, something happens up in heaven in Shomayim. Says the Chassam Sofer, there's a meeting every year on Asor B'Tevis in Shomayim. Should we continue the Golus? Should we continue the Churban HaMikdash? Or no? Should we cancel it, stop the Golus, and stop the Churban? Every year on Asor B'Tevis, look the Chassam Sofer, that's what goes on in Shomayim. And Mimela, and you look at Tisha B'Av and Al Sha'avar, something happened. No, you got to fast. It's not going to be Doche Shabbos. Oh, but since over here we're fasting not for something that happened, we're fasting a bit for something that's the future of Klal Yisrael, the future of the Golus, the future of the Churban. Mimela, if it falls on Shabbos, we've got to be Doche Shabbos. Because this is the day. We can now in the school of the Rosh, talks about the school of the Yoyim, that person that tefillah on the wonderful day of Atainis. That we have to realize that the Chassam Sofer, that's the reason why it's Doche Shabbos. Because it's the day that you can be piled. What is future happening? Masha'enkin, all the other fasts are all Asha'abar and Mameya, they're not Doche Shabbos. So, Baisai, tomorrow we continue with all the halachas of Taita.